From UCB Comedy Studios, this is the UCB Digital Podcast. Hey, everybody. Welcome back to another episode of the show. Glad that you are with us. Hope that your February is going well. We're planning to release this episode on Valentine's Day. Happy Valentine's Day. And we've got some guests that truly epitomize what Valentine's Day is all about. They are each other's comedy Valentines. Soren and Jollis on the show today. Tracy Soren and Jesse Jollis were nice enough to sit down and talk to me about their work, their comedy partnership. And we will dig into that in depth in just 1 minute. It is a new year, and it's a new sort of season for this show. And as part of that, I want to introduce Ben Hosley, who's been our producer. Hey, Ben, how you doing?
I'm doing great, Nate. I'm glad the show is back, man.
Oh, you know, I missed it. I missed spending this time that we get to spend together.
Well, that's true. And now I guess I'm going to be on mic moving forward. So that's exciting. So it's like we're really just pulling back the curtains.
That's right. That's what this show is all about, pulling back the curtain. And I wanted to bring Ben into the conversation because sometimes it feels like I'm ranting into this microphone. And I know you guys at home are listening, but it feels awkward to me. So I want to talk to Ben about some of the issues going on right now inside of the digital content space.
Yes, please do.
So kind of a devastating start to the year. I don't know, like this is all pretty public information at this point, but there's been a couple of comedy entities in New York City who have shut down in the beginning part of this year, including our friends at the Flama, who we've had guests from the Flama on the show before, including Chris Knight, I think has been on the show at least once, if not twice. They shut down, a couple of other comedy production entities in New York shutting down. So it's a weird time. Funny or Die moved to Los Angeles. They closed their New York office. It's a wild time in comedy production in New York City.
Yeah, it seems like a lot of the digital entities are downsizing.
Yeah, and I don't know what that trend exactly means, but it feels like it's indicative in, you know, in the larger industry as well, that like as the platforms keep shifting, as the sort of like way that people are consuming is shifting, it means that nothing is terra firma in terms of like setting up your business. I read this actually today that YouTube is now offering a service. If you have 10,000 subscribers as part of, again, trying to drive money into it, you can, as a viewer, pay to have your post, your comment on live streams stay at the top of the feed, right?
Yeah.
So let's say, you know, I don't know who's like a good reference for this, but like
maybe one of the video game streamers.
Sure.
So that seems to be like a thing that's very popular.
So if you want to get that person's attention, you can pay money for your comment as a viewer to be pinned to the top for a certain amount of time. And the more money you pay, the longer that comment, or I don't know if it's just one comment or if it's multiple, but like your comments potentially could be pinned to the top of this thread. So it essentially creates a monetized stream of your voice now becomes louder in the conversation. And I don't know how I feel about that.
I also don't see the incentive other than to be sort of playing devil's advocate. It seems like a service where people could just troll.
It does if you've got enough money. But
for
I think
sure.
But isn't that what the whole media landscape is? Is that if you've got enough money, you can troll?
I guess.
You can get your point across.
Sure.
And the interesting part of it is that it's additional revenue. But right now there's no report on how much of that money actually goes to the content provider.
Right.
So YouTube has said they'll get most of it, but it's very most is a non-specific number. So it's also unclear inside of this new economic model that YouTube has created, how much you get as the person who's making the content as opposed to them for being the ones posting it at the top. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah. And like, this is similar to with Facebook Live content where, you know, they have sort of the reactions like during the live broadcast. But then when you tune in later, is it going to be retained like it is on Facebook, on this YouTube service? Like those comments will continue to live with the video?
I believe so, yeah. And I think
that's not fair to the creator. You're affecting their work.
You are. You are. And I think that the question becomes, I think what it does is it changes the arrangement, though, because you might be posting differently knowing that now.
True.
Right? And like I said, this is a new service. And it's only available if you have 10,000 or more subscribers. Right. And if you're live, I don't think it's not possible to do it for like pre-recorded content. So if you're just putting out videos, you can't, you know, economically troll harder, you know, on those videos is only for live streaming content.
But they stream so much stuff too. Does that mean that if you have enough money that you could put some kind of comment into like the Academy Award feed on YouTube?
I don't know.
I mean, that's preposterous, but like, I'm just,
I think what it really means is in the same way that like where it actually is going to become impactful from a speech point of view is that if someone famous, like let's put this in a political context.
Right.
If some sort of politician is YouTube living, it means that a political opponent can post by paying money, which then their rival would get that money. But still, you'd be able to have your comment and your point of view posted up on top of someone else's message. That's where it starts to get really interesting. But we'll see how it evolves.
Right.
Kind of interesting. So I don't know. If anybody has any thoughts on that, give us a tweet. We're at UCB Digital, UCB Digital Podcast on Facebook. So you can post a comment to us. If you pay us enough money, we'll post it at the top of the page. How about that? Pay us any money, we'll post it on the top of the page.
Give us beer.
Yeah, give us beer. We'll post it at the top of the page. 100%. Any of those things work for us. We got some good content coming out. If you haven't seen it so far, we had a video come out on the 13th of February called Divorce Complex. It's a short film on Vimeo.com/UCB Comedy. Great feature piece for longtime UCB alums, Will Hines and Emily Maya Mills. It's a team out of LA called Gordon who made this short. And it's a 13-minute short about a really sad divorced guy moving into a complex of divorcees. Just what you want to watch on Valentine's Day. I don't know if that's your inside of your Valentine's Day plans, Ben, but check it out if you haven't checked it out already on Vimeo.com/UCB Comedy. All right. Enough of the pre-roll here. Let's get into our show. Like I said before, Tracy Sorin and Jesse Jollis, the comedy duo Sorin and Jollis, were nice enough to sit down with us. If you don't know them, they are the creators and writers and performers and directors and editors of, oh my God, a shit ton of content. They work on so many things. Their web series Dibs, which I believe they produced 3 seasons of, has been called The Next Broad City. We talked to them a little bit about that inside the show. That comparison to a couple of other funny comedy ladies in the New York scene. What's really set Sorin and Jollis apart is that sort of work ethic, right? They are everywhere, including recently, and this is all within the last like year, they actually had some stuff go up on the Flama before it passed away. Bravo, Refinery 29, Elite Daily, a bunch of branded content stuff. When we recorded this, they had just gotten back from Los Angeles after recording some content for Elizabeth Banks's Hoo Ha Ha channel. And they are hustlers. And a big part of their hustle is their partnership. So I was really excited to sit down and talk to them about their comedy partnership. How do they make it work? What's their approach to their work? How do they keep each other challenged creatively, as well as working as hard as they do? So let's jump right into it. And I jumped in with a question about how many projects they're working on right now. Our conversation with Sorin and Jollis. So give me a snapshot for you guys, because I think that like you guys are constantly sort of like in 100 different places, right? Yeah. Give me a snapshot of all the projects you're working on at this moment today.
Wow.
What are all the things you got going?
Well, today we were working on a series that we shot for a company called Hoo Ha Ha. Mm-hmm.
Sure, Elizabeth Banks.
In LA.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Our good friend Liz.
And we were just paring down the first cuts. So cool. We're not editing, but we're just helping to
give notes like that.
Great. So digital series with Hoo Ha Ha.
Yes.
Great.
We are writing a series for UCB Comedy. We're doing our, so we're in our, we're in the middle of our writing. Second draft.
Yeah.
Drafts, okay. Which will be done soon.
Mm-hmm.
We're getting ready for a meeting to figure out episodes mm-hmm. for a series. We'll be shooting
with Above Average.
Yeah.
Okay. So and you guys are channel partners at Above Average now?
Yes.
Radical.
We just shot a segment for a greenlit pilot in LA.
Mm-hmm.
That was fun.
That was just a couple of days ago.
Not even a couple of days ago.
I mean, no, it's right there.
That was this morning.
Yes.
We owe a lot of pitches, I would say.
Yeah. We do owe a lot of pitches at this
point. To various just companies.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And we have to figure out what to do with a bunch of our own content. So,
yeah.
Oh, and we just started a commercial. That was exciting.
We did.
With a baby pig.
Really?
Yeah.
That's fun.
It was really cool.
We had to, like, act with a tiny pig.
Which, I'll tell you right now, Tracy had to eventually go, Jesse, forget about the pig. I forgot all my lines. I forgot everything that was happening. I was like, pig, pig, yeah, pig. And I went, pig. There's
just
a pig.
Let the pig roam.
Yeah.
we got very distracted with the pig.
How many pigs were there?
They
only brought one?
They brought a pal for the other pig.
Pig and a pal.
Off-screen pal.
Yes, yes. It was like...
Just a companion.
Yes. Yeah, exactly. It was entourage. It wasn't an actor.
Yeah, that was turtle.
Yeah, it was turtle. Exactly. It was turtle. And then, so we have our own stuff we have to put out. So we have a short, we did a short in DC this summer.
Yeah.
That was a one take, mostly improvised, like 8 minute short.
Mm-hmm.
We did some videos with Tony Cohen, which are in post production now. Mm-hmm. So
those. And then we have like three or four videos we haven't put out yet.
Yeah.
But they're all shot and edited.
All shot and edited.
All just yeah. There.
So we're just, sometimes it's hard with the climate of, be like, here's a comedy video we're going to push. So we to be like,
judicious.
Yeah, exactly.
Exactly. And then we're, I think, going to figure out what we want to do next for ourselves.
Right.
Okay. So you would define that as pretty busy.
Pretty busy.
Or is this normal?
For us, this is taking
it's
like
actually
a
pretty, I think this is very light for us. Uh-huh. Very, very light.
We're trying to be better about like, what do we want to do?
In a great way.
In a great way.
I love that we are very big on deadlines.
Yes.
We have had to tell each other, like, these are deadlines we made up. We owe no one anything. Like, but I'll be like, we said we'd have five videos by Friday.
Yeah.
So we're just trying to be a little looser because we were doing a lot really quickly.
Yeah.
So let me ask this, because I think that, like, the overall story from my perspective for you guys is sort of, like, hustling constantly. That's the
thing
it feels like.
Thank you. Oh, I hope that's our story.
Thank you.
Right?
Yeah.
And what I wonder is, in terms of working together as a duo and in an environment where a lot of the deadlines are sort of self-mandated, how do you guys manage? How do you manage that? Are you guys talking every how much do you guys have to actually talk? Or how are you sort of managing each other across all of these deadlines?
I think one of my favorite things about working with Tracy is we call each other like yin yang. Like we're so different in the best way. Mm-hmm. So I'm always like, what's next? Like, what's the next project? I want to shoot like
more.
And Tracy's great about like wrapping things up and like.
I'm like, no, we still have to do this. Like we have this thing that's.
Yeah. Very like organized and is making sure we're finishing projects and like. So I think it's so great to have a partner because first of all, we give each other homework and. We know what, your strengths are and my strengths so that.
But we're going to go on like this is 2012 we met. So we're going to go on like 5 years of working together almost. Mm-hmm. Right.
Yeah.
So we've had to figure this out. I mean, when we started working together, we were both working full time jobs.
Sure.
And even this past year, we started working full time doing this together and separately as individuals in January of last year. And we had to figure out like. We pushed ourselves to an edge to a point where we're ripping our hair out.
Mm-hmm.
And then we had to look at each other and go, this, we have to now reassess. Because you don't know, like when you first quit your day job, you're like, oh my God, I'm going to take anything all the time and kill myself is the way we do it.
Sure.
Yeah.
But we realized, I think we're now in like the perfect, we just finally got to like this perfect medium where it feels so fun and so good. Where we're just like, we're going to do as much work as we can, but also like live a little consciously.
Yeah.
Like, but I guess like us, we're always hustling. So it's like the level to somebody else.
Yes.
Might be like.
Might just be normal.
To us, we're like, this is slow. But like, it's still high.
Right.
But we've had to really figure out like what's our strengths. We've had to have ways to communicate with each other. Like how.
I would say we talk constantly, especially if we're in production, writing, any type of mode like that, you know.
We also fill out the roles a little bit more. So, like, I take on more of the producer side.
Sure.
But she does produce, but it's just, like, lead producer, junior producer, and then she is the lead editor, and I'm, like,
a
junior producer. I edit, but it's...
It'll be great. I mean, one of my favorite times are... Like when we're, I always call it like writing and post-production, which I think we do. Like when we shoot like an interview, like our Bubby series, it was like we have to write all these jokes and figure out this video and post. So we'll both be on different computers, like in the same room, just like working on
making different jokes.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then showing each other and being like, I like that. Oh, that works. Like this one is better, whatever, for this joke. And That's so great.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. How often are you guys, so in terms of the way you're working right now, again, Snapshot, are you, is it mostly face-to-face communication? Is it phone? Is it text? Is it email? Like, what's the sort of like ways that you guys are communicating most effectively?
We used to meet, like, we used to do 80 hours a week staring at each other. And finally, we finally looked at each other and like, this isn't necessary, right? Like, we have animals. We like to, like, have a social life or be at home or cook or whatever. So we're just like, we can be doing, we used to go and just like, we need pitches and stare at each other for 3 hours while we're like not in a room, which is a great way to figure out what didn't work for us, which is we will now come with pitches. We will now go, what better time management?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
We just, we're like, we have to work together all the time, every day, eat every meal together.
Yeah.
Which was great. Until we were like, we can be doing this in a better time managed way. So we make choices of when, like, when we need to meet, and then we will meet and get it done because we don't, we will get it done.
Yeah.
You know, but we do like face to face. Like, there's things you just can't, it's harder to do.
Right. And I think we'll sit down and either plan out our week or plan out when we're getting certain things done. I mean, if normally when we have to, you know, you'll get a just a big email all of a sudden that's like a contract or something. And we always jump on the phone over text. And then I would always choose face-to-face over phone. Yes. Like, I think when it's a high stress or you're talking about something, it's tone can be obviously misinterpreted with email, text. So we pretty much try to, if it's anything important, get off text.
Well, because we have different anxieties.
Yes.
Like, very much so. And we're very different, which is why I think we've worked together for so well. But it's also what can cause an issue, which is like, I panic committing to something.
Yeah.
And she's like, I'll sign my life away.
I'm like, my blood is yours.
So it's like, I think we've gotten better.
We've gotten better. And we've learned, when we get a contract, I won't contact her until she contacts me. Because I know that.
I've gotten better, though.
Much better. But
the first few times,
But it's also like
these people want to steal our ideas. Like,
And I think also you just say things you don't mean. I mean, I panic. And so we just give each other time when we need it.
I need 10 minutes.
10 minutes. Sure. We'll have a good 10 minute rule, which we love.
Mm-hmm. We've been doing that. And then we'll just go, I didn't mean, or like, this was my, this is my intention.
Yeah.
I think it came out like this, or this is my intention. And then it's like, lately we've just been like, okay.
Right.
Sure.
It's like when you're not. We've been very good at about, I think now after a year of doing this full time, of being like, we will always make it work for us. We'll always, we're our biggest advocates. Right. So if something doesn't go well, or if something doesn't, you know, we've had companies, we've had contracts with that just like, they disappear.
Sure.
And like, we thought it was an income source, or we thought it was a good name or something.
Yeah.
And they'll just disappear and we'll be like, okay, well, we're disappointed. Give me 10.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
And then we're done. Because in this business, it's like, whatever. Like, you can't get upset for too long.
Right.
Right.
Yeah.
You also can't get invested into things too much, because it's such a fleeting, everything's fleeting. A
lot of irons in the fire, if you will. Yeah. I always like a lot of irons in my fire. Because one of them's got a light, is my thing.
Well, and also there's so many winds that are blowing in so many different directions. It's like, take for example, like as we're recording this, it's like, everybody sort of found out in the last couple of months about like Flamma's up in smoke, right?
I know.
Unbelievable.
Total pivot on the part of Univision for something that felt like for a while was such so prolific. You guys were doing stuff there.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. They had
I mean,
such a viewership and such a market, and the Latino voice is so important.
But a lot of companies are having trouble monetizing. I mean, we're working with a ton of companies right now, and you can, which is scary for us, of course, as well, but you can see that they're panicking. Like, they're not. Branded content isn't coming in, I guess, as often as they'd like, or
everybody's trying to figure it out, and it's constantly changing. But I just mean, like, and that's not even to call them out on the specifics of that circumstance, but just to say that it's like, here's something that, you know, you put some energy towards, but even these big things,
massive,
feel like they have a backing. The winds can change, and that means it's literally gone.
Literally. Drew and I normally say, like, I won't believe it until I actually see it.
Sure.
Like, we could even shoot it. And we've shot things that then never see the light of day.
Mm-hmm. And we're like, okay, until it's literally on my feed, or I receive the paycheck. And even when you receive the paycheck, if you get a paycheck, by the way, which is, you know, a whole other separate thing. But if you, until I see the footage,
yeah,
like cut and branded, I'm not, I don't, no, no.
Believe that it's going to be there.
Yeah.
Sure. And even then, it's like only out for a limited period of time.
Right.
So, totally. Yeah.
No, for sure. I guess what I'm sort of like curious in terms of like the way you guys are working, you don't have an office.
No.
No.
And do you live far from each other?
No.
Luckily, no.
You live close to each other.
Yeah.
Walking good.
Distance. That's yeah. That was on purpose.
Yeah. It was. We, I mean, because we
got
were
kicked out of my apartment. Yeah.
Yeah.
And we were working together all the time. It was like,
I was like, I'm not going to Brooklyn. We're going to Queens. I will. No, I can't. Can't afford it. Yeah. I can't do it.
Well, I guess I'm just curious because there is such, because you guys are working together so closely, that's an interesting sort of like dynamic at this point. So you said that a year ago, you quit jobs. Both of you quit jobs? Mm-hmm. Both had jobs at that point?
Mm-hmm.
Was that, I guess what I'm wondering is, was that, that was already after you've been working together pretty intensely for a while.
Yeah. For a long time.
So maybe let's back up slightly. What's the point at which you guys sort of like made a commitment to each other?
You know what I mean?
When was the engagement here?
That's so beautiful. You know?
That's funny that you use the word engagement.
We always say we're married.
We do. But we actually looked at each other one day and was like, we had the baby before we.
That's true.
We made our web series without realizing how intensely we both work.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
This is dibs.
Yes.
Dibs.
Our first thing that we ever did together. And then we were like, oh, we're married and we're going to make it work. Like,
yeah.
Not in a negative way. Just right. Like, I think in the beginning we didn't realize we were.
I mean, you don't have those frank conversations you have to have when like.
We didn't think of it, I guess.
No. And I don't think you. I thought that for me, I think that we started having more. Really made a commitment once we finished Dibs and we were looking to see if we could sell it and get a company to do season 3. And we were like, until then, let's start our channel and be making content that we think can get press.
That's probably when. So in the beginning, that was just like, we're going to make something fun.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Sure. So in the sort of like,
I think we were dating during Dibs and then we got engaged.
Analogy.
Yeah. When Soren and Jaws.
At that point. And then when you quit your jobs, that's the real sort of like.
Right.
Commitment.
That was,
it is like we're going to both jump off this cliff together.
Right, yeah.
Okay. So the point at which you sort of like felt committed was at the point where you're making the sale and then you sort of like really take it up to the next level at the beginning of 2016.
Yeah. I think in the beginning, when we both left our...
We were
we already had a contract when we were still working full time.
Yeah, okay. We were before that. But that was a huge, that was one of the biggest steps we ever took. That's our baby, if you will. That's when we had a baby.
Yeah.
Because I think what...
This is a great metaphor.
Isn't this so fun?
It's working.
This is what we say all the time.
It is. I think that it was hard for us because I think that we love each other as best friends, creative partners, and it started to get hard when we were financially tied with each other because, finances is a huge stress. Mm. And, we do this because we love it.
Yeah.
And, we love working together. And then we had sort of the bonus of financial stress, which we then, looked at each other and decided to make sure that we're not depending on each other financially. I mean, hopefully one day we can. But because right now we're still figuring it out, we don't want to be
resentful of each other.
Yeah, or just
it was getting very hard.
So stressed.
Yeah, it was getting very hard because we both did have, listen, we're not going to, we had cushions. We are planners. So we had these jobs. We had jobs for a while.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And
we didn't leave until we had like 2 contracts.
Yeah, we had
ready to go.
We were not, we weren't
one
like,
company
bye-bye.
Folded.
Right away. and the other company folded right after. But in any case, like, we have looked at each other in the past few months and we're like, we love working together, but it takes the stress off when we also are doing stuff individually and feel like we can go do jobs that can be financially.
Yeah, Tracy's writing articles. I'm editing for people on the side. Like, we're doing things that when we get together, we're having fun, when they are financially rewarding, amazing, but I'm not like looking at her like my food source.
Yeah, sure. And that's how we were. We were looking at each other and it became... Because we are different personalities, so I require a lot of alone time. She likes to be with people a lot.
All the time.
So we had to be like, okay, we need to be able to do our own thing and come together to make stuff great.
I mean, I think I'm curious about this in part because I think for a lot of people who are working, comedy partnership is like attractive, but it's also hard. It is hard to sort of feel out relationships.
Yes.
Right. So I guess maybe what is it about that first project initially that got you guys to sort of take that next step together? You're not having the frank conversations. You're just sort of like hanging out and working on some stuff. You like each other. You sort of have a sensibility that's similar.
Yeah.
What's the sort of way that transitions for y'all? How'd you know that it was the right thing to do for you guys?
Oh gosh. I'm trying to think back like so long ago.
Sure.
Well, I remember on set during season one, there was a moment where, like, I know, but Nicole laughed because there was something happening on set and we both, like, looked at each other, didn't say real words, like, are we, and then we'll, and completely knew what the other person was saying and we both were good to go. And then Nicole was like, nobody just spoke a word, just so you know. But I think we always, very luckily, were on the same page and sort of get each other. So creatively, it was really easy.
I think the I'm going to get a little deep here, but the qualities that can sometimes be combative with us that we've realized is actually the qualities that we both need to like push a little. Like I'm a little like, it takes a while for me to trust. I'm a little more like, go fuck yourself. And I need to be a little softer. I think I'm a little, I come off a little more like, no, we ain't playing. And she's more sensitive and ready to like bring people in, and I think she needed a little bit more of like
a guard.
So we had to sort of, I'm not sit listen we've gotten into terrible fights, not gonna lie, horrible
the fights.
You wouldn't even believe, like screaming, like no one's heard me scream like that except unless you're like living with me or you are a family member.
Yes.
Unless I'm dating you or you
are
a family member.
Sure.
Yes,
like years in, you know what I mean?
Yes.
But like I'm saying we're in a good place now because the whole year it was good, and then we wanted to kill each other. But we had to figure out what works.
Right.
And how to nourish ourselves as individuals. People don't always look at us as individuals. We get told like, can one of you come? It's like, that's fine.
Yeah, we all can like breathe alone and walk on our own.
But,
and I mean, we've always said, and I've said, like my belief in duos and partnerships is like they should be beneficial. They should be like, one thing I love about Tracy is like when we are together, I'm like, this is a dynamic that I can't get with somebody else. Like that's what makes me stronger with her. And I love it. Like chemistry is so important in comedy, and to me it makes us special and different.
Right.
And in that plant that we're watering, it's super important that when Tracy gets something on her own, I have to be her number one fan. Like I have to always support her. I want the best for her. Like we should be rooting for each other 100% all the time.
Cry?
You know what?
Sometimes it looks like she's gonna cry.
I know.
But
I held myself. I could cry at any point in time. Sensitive. Remember sensitive.
You literally could change some of the specifics here, and you are talking about like a relationship. You're talking about it.
Oh, we know that.
Like you could change some of the specifics, and it all applies. So sounds like it sounds very healthy.
We have a joint bank account.
Yeah, we do.
Really?
Yeah.
But do you have a business?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
We have an LLC. Entity.
Oh, great.
Yeah.
So then that makes sense.
Yeah. Like you have more access to my funds than my live-in boyfriend. You know what I mean? Like you can like wipe me out.
She has keys to my apartment.
Exactly.
And she knows how to use them.
I do.
What is the name of your company just Soren and Jaws?
Yeah.
Right on the nose.
Right on the nose.
Easy breezy. And also you can't take on any more partners without adding them into the...
Right.
There
becomes a law firm.
It's a law firm.
You don't need that.
Harris, Harris, and Harris.
That's right. Cool. We had talked about for a little while about the sort of like way that you guys have been building too in terms of some of your client base. You know, the sort of period humor.
Yeah.
So it was
you guys
a lot.
Are tracking.
It was a lot of period humor.
Tracking in that direction. Let me ask, is that an intentional thing or is that something that you guys were pulled towards as opportunities kept opening up?
Periods?
Yeah.
We are women.
And just to clarify, this is something we had talked about previously off mic about.
Of course.
That these type of jokes and this type of comedy were projects that people were approaching you about a lot.
Oh,
right?
We're period
right. Well, I think Tracy and I, our humor is very open, very...
we have no shame about anything.
And we're very much feminists where like we want to be able to be a voice or something
like,
that...
like the idea like women don't, sorry, I interrupted you. I apologize. But
no,
like,
it's fine.
It's just like, sometimes I like, yeah, you don't shit. Like you have to shit and here's poopery. I'm like, what the fuck? Is a man using poopery?
Yeah.
Like,
and what is poopery? This? Like, I don't like it. I don't like that. The idea that he thinks I'm pooping flowers is insane. It's that's on him.
It's literally insane to me. If you're going to have sex with me,
yeah,
I bleed. If you can't deal with it, then you're not touching it.
Yeah.
It's just like, it's nuts.
It's one or the other.
We did a period sketch though, way before, yes, and a bathroom sketch way before we were approached. So I think, yes, maybe we like put it out in the universe.
Put it out there.
Yeah. It's always been sort of our humor and things that we, mm-hmm, like think are funny. Mm-hmm.
But actually for this one, our friend Emma Willman, who's a stand-up, was doing a podcast about periods. This was with Thinks, a series we did with Thinks. And they wanted her to do videos, mm-hmm, and she knew we did videos. So, mm-hmm, this wasn't actually like as much of like periods as much of like,
true,
maybe Emma knew we liked periods.
Maybe Emma knew. And then we wrote a sketch and shot it. Mm-hmm. And then after that, we were picked up for series.
Yeah, series.
And the other two companies, yeah, as well. But Tracy and I have always pretty early on put on like a business hat.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because I think when you learn about successful actors, comedians, writers, you learn that they have a business side and they are pushing themselves and they're always their first advocate and they're opening doors and they're asking questions, asking favors. So I think Tracy and I are very much like aggressive in a way that we were like, this is our business and we want to approach companies we like and we want to work with companies we like.
But that's, I would give testament to Jessie. Her dad is like literally trained salespeople. She, yeah, has that gene. My family's like, you don't want this, bye. Like I hated.
She's gotten so
PR.
Good though.
Yeah, because now it's like either you do it or you push yourself, mm-hmm, on somebody or you don't. Like, mm-hmm, I've gotten numb to it at this, yeah, point. But in the beginning, it yeah was painful for me. And she was like, God, what's the worst they can say? I worked in philanthropy for a very long time. Mm-hmm. So I also learned like the worst they can say is no.
Right.
What are you going to do?
Yeah.
Like, that's what the messaging was. Like, just ask. You might get $1 million or you might be the door shut on your face. Like,
right,
whatever. So, but that is you.
That is, yeah.
I'm not going to lie.
And I guess what I wonder is how much of the opportunities that have started that you guys have been generating, how much of it is in outreach and how much of it is stuff that comes towards you because of the work that you've done independently?
Or one that it came independently.
Yeah. It's a lot of it. Lot I of think it what us. A lot of people don't know.
A lot of it's outreach.
A lot of it is outreach. Mm-hmm. A lot of it is, I mean, it might come along later organically, yeah, but, you know, like Hoo Ha, for example, who we got to do that great series, yeah, with, it started with.
We tweeted.
Yeah, they tweeted one of our videos.
Well, we tweeted to them.
Yeah, okay.
And then they tweeted to us, and then
we followed each other. Then we direct messaged. Yeah. Like, we were actively.
We had a call 5 months before they picked up the series. We pitched them 5 months. We were like,
we pitched them like the first week they were around.
Yeah.
I mean, we're on it as fast as we can.
Yeah. So we just like, we use.
And I was a public relations major. Yeah. So with a lot of our videos, and, you know, we would sit down and think, how can we get press? Like, how can we get,
yeah,
you know, and then, sure, okay, this video. Okay, great. How are we going to title it? How are we going to almost write our pitch in the title so that a writer will want to pick it up or see where the story could be? Great. We're going to, yeah, do that. You know, she does Twitter. I do,
yeah, I've
LinkedIn and other sources, and we both just go. Well, but it's not coincidence most of the time.
No, it's not coincidence because, mm-hmm, yeah, like, she's PR. I was journalism. So it's just, yeah, we sort of know. We know media. We like studied media for like, yeah, how to pitch to media, right, for our entire college careers, and it came in handy.
And I think we consider that post production as well. Like we aren't done with the video when, mm-hmm, it's done. We then are like, and now we have to do PR. Like now we have to work, put our heads down, and figure out,
right,
if we can get it, you know, on on sites or
to just if what like some of the videos we go this like we did two Christmas videos not this Christmas the year before, mm-hmm, and it was like this one we think is going to hit
right
viral, which it did, and this one will still do very well, but it's a little weirder and it'll be more niche,
right?
Like we know like these sites will probably do better, yeah, here. Like we tailor people are like, how do you do press? It's like every single time it's new.
Yeah, it is.
We might have five contacts that are the same.
But a lot of research. I mean, we do a ton of research. And also sometimes, you know, it won't be about maybe the press. Like one video we did, yes, that didn't get that much press, we sent to a production company, mm-hmm, and they were like, we're going to do a show around this.
Yeah.
like come in.
It's like, it was like, okay.
Yeah.
Or they like, one of the production companies we're working with, they like saw one of the videos that again, it doesn't have
right.
100,000, whatever, YouTube now is like, but yeah. It doesn't have all the views in the world. And they're like, the quality is this good. We can send this out to networks. It's like, okay.
Yeah.
So it's like, every video gives us something like mm-hmm. our grandma series, like with my bubby, yeah. with her grandmother, like people talk about that all the time. And it's like, we shot that in 3 hours at my bubby's house and just like wrote it in post. I mean, post right. was hard, but
post was hard. Yeah.
We're just talking to our grandparents.
Yeah. Right. Like, we did not know bubby was going to get that big. Sometimes it does surprise us.
We were like, no one's going to watch our grandmothers.
Yeah. We were like, this is something we love, but
she literally got a call from Steve Harvey's people. Like
bubby.
Talked to our agent, yeah. and I was like, cool, my bubby's getting calls from yeah. Ellen and Steve Harvey.
So great. Happy for you,
she
bubs.
Was on the phone. She was like, will it help you? And I was like, probably not. She's like, well, I can't, and I won't. Because they wanted her to go to LA. I was like, she's 90 years old.
Wow.
But, yeah. But I was like, when we got that, I was like, great.
So sometimes things do blow up, and like, but we'll always start the wagon. Mm-hmm. Sometimes the horse will luckily run very quickly, but we're normally...
Call it a marathon. It's never a race.
That's what we say. Yeah, it's not a sprint. It's a marathon.
That's what it's not a sprint. It's
a sprint. I mean, what
marathon
is it?
Marathon is a race.
Except for when it's like, except for when it's like Valentine's Day. Then it's like, well,
then
we,
it is.
You know,
yeah.
we have 4 days before the holiday's uh-huh. done, and no one's going to write about this for a year. Yeah,
but I think it's getting tough because it's like things are oversaturated a little bit now, and everyone's sure. doing video content. So we keep it's having true. To think like, how do we mold change ourselves? What do we do that's different? How right. do we get on platforms? Like, we sort of want to see like. We want to be working with everybody. We want mm-hmm. to say, like, we're so excited to be working with UCB Comedy. We're so yeah. excited to be working with Above Average. We're so excited to be working with Hua. And it's, like, just to be able to go, this pitch worked for them, this pitch worked for them, right. this pitch worked for them.
Sure.
Yeah.
It's, like, because we go into meetings and they're, like, well, what do you want to focus on? It's, like, we can do it. We have ideas for all.
I actually think it helps. We'll talk about it for writing. Like, I wouldn't want to be writing for, like, of the same series just... Mm. Like, it really helps when we're writing one that's a completely different muscle. Like, that way it's easy to switch. If we get tired of writing, like, that quick, fast-paced dialogue, like, let's go to, you know...
Let's do a short where longer, improvising.
Yeah, a short film or yeah. something that has deeper characters or something that isn't... Or pitches. It helps, I think, to be working on different things so mm-hmm. that you don't feel sort of trapped creatively.
I wonder, like... Maybe this is something that doesn't have an answer, but then I guess what I wonder with that is how do you manage that going forward as a duo then? Because it's also like you're talking about doing different things
mm-hmm. yeah,
and wanting to actively do different things. Mm-hmm. How do you make a decision about, but also like you can't sit still and just, you have to keep
right.
doing new things and developing yourselves and sort of like having a goal for you guys that's probably growth.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
And probably stability in some yeah. sense.
Stability. Where are you?
Yeah, exactly. But yeah. But I just mean, how does that get managed internally to you guys too? Setting bigger goals. Do you have goals that are, so you have goals for like, this thing's happening, let's approach it, or this is an idea we love, let's make it. But how about the more macro stuff? How about thinking on the macro?
Oh, right.
Timmy
would say right.
But really, like, well, how about that? Where do you, how do you approach that stuff as a duo?
I get very overwhelmed.
Yeah.
I'm not going to lie. I never set New Year's resolutions. I never set big goals for myself because I'm very like, the path will take me. Mm. Like, I can see what's in front of me and I want to feel like in my chest, go right or go left. Mm. Because it's just like the idea, it's too much pressure to go, I need to be on a TV show by November, whatever. I don't know if
right.
that's what you're saying, or like, I need to sell an unscripted TV show by X, or I need to book a commercial, which I think is what, I don't know if that's really what you're getting
sort
at.
Sort of. I mean, I also just think that it's like, is it like, because you're also saying you want to be working on different types of things, right?
Right.
Yes.
Initially, my question was, you're sort of being tracked into period humor. That's the kind of opportunities that open the door. Are you actively saying, enough of this shit, let's go do something else, our goal is X? Or are you saying, the door keeps opening, let's just let it open?
That's one reason we've also lifted the financial burden, because we want to be able to go, we don't want to do that. Mm-hmm. Like, we actually don't want to write another period joke.
Yeah.
We've written a bunch. Like, and by lifting the financial burden again, we're able to give ourselves creative freedom to either take chances or to say we're not interested in that. We would do something like this. Like, this is something we want to do, but we're not tied to anything, which I think sometimes in the past we were, because
we just panicked.
We had to hit.
Like, or, I think it was a good opportunity, but yeah. It turned out to be way more work than maybe what we yes. thought or anything like
and
that.
And I think what we learned, and honestly anyone will learn, if when you start working, depending on certain companies, but we were working for companies and writing videos for them in their voice. And then after a little bit, I think we both started to feel just like we weren't, because we weren't writing in our voice. We weren't doing what we wanted. We were doing a job. But then it's not your voice. It's not creating something for you. It isn't furthering your career. So then we were writing in other people's voices, writing in our voices. Like, and now we are at the luxury where mm-hmm. we can be approached by companies or go to companies where they know our voice.
Right.
And hopefully we have the opportunity to be doing things that are furthering our career and our humor and helping right. us.
It's also a thing of like, I mean, I think that if we, luckily, like, we still managed, I will give us a testament to say, we still managed to infiltrate our voice into mm-hmm. a lot of those sketches yeah. and a lot of those things. And if a company like wants us to do something or a brand, mm-hmm. we're like, we are into it.
Yes.
But I will, the other issue was we were producing.
Yeah.
We were writing, producing, starring, and editing.
Directing.
And directing yeah. every single video. And the deadlines were like boom, boom, boom. And that's what made us almost lose our mind.
Yes.
It was like we sometimes, because we work so hard mm-hmm. and are so used to just always hammering ourselves and be like, I could stay up for 12 hours.
Yeah.
We'd be like, we can do this. It's like, that doesn't mean you should.
Right.
You should do that to sure. yourself.
Yeah. Which so. I think is one of the keys with the lifting the financial.
Yeah.
I know I keep saying it, yeah. but I.
And by what we mean by lifting the financial is we're going to do jobs that might have nothing to do with this to support ourselves.
Oh,
or
yeah.
to do this with that. What's,
totally. Or if a job yes. comes, we don't have to take it because right. we're bleeding on the side of the road.
Mm-hmm.
we are like financially right now, we're both like somewhat panicked, but.
Yeah. I think that.
I think that's the world right now.
Exactly. It's the world. So, it's hard
but
out
say,
there.
We'll sweep a like we will do whatever. We'll do whatever.
Yeah.
Like we don't you know, if it just means like paying the rent, like not mm-hmm. I don't mean yeah. creatively, like that's but I'm right. I'm saying like
yes. I think we both have for a while made lots of sacrifices for yeah. our I think art at this point mm-hmm. and we'll continue to so that one day hopefully, you know, we've stayed true to ourselves that yes. we're getting jobs and opportunities that are going to lead to
right
stability. Well, that word we're looking for.
Like I said, we're both very anxious people. We are yeah. like we are the type who wants a paycheck every 2 weeks.
I love
benefits,
a schedule. We don't have any of that. Like, you know, we'll get a call last week that's like, we need you in LA. And it's like, okay, everything I had planned is.
Which is exciting, but we panic. Yeah.
Right.
Sure.
We straight up panic.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I think it's so hard to navigate what's good and what's bad. I think this is true for anybody in this type of business. It's like the opportunity comes in, and it is so – it's right in your face, and it can be important, but it also could be meaningless, and it also could be a waste of time too.
Totally.
So it's like, how do you – like evaluating those things is hard. So maybe in a sense having somebody to bounce that off of who has a different sort of energy must be helpful.
Oh, it's great. Yeah. Or just being able to vent. I mean – I always say in this industry, which is bonkers to me, it's like everything is, you know, 20 zillion years because we need 8,000 people to approve it or tomorrow. And it's like, can't we find yeah. a middle? Is there a way? Like so many opportunities, it'll be like a call that's like, it did get picked up. We didn't even know it was getting pitched.
Right.
And like, it's a go and we want it by,
we
you
need
know,
seven scripts by, you know, and you're
it's like,
what?
Yeah.
Okay, but we have gone. I mean,
better.
I think
we've
the right
better.
Idea is to always say you can do it and okay, and then we figure it out later.
I think also we've gotten a lot. What I will say is for two people that have always had stability in their jobs,
yeah,
not having stability makes, as we are, we'll always be anxious, but makes you have to live in the moment.
Yes.
It's like improv. You have to make a choice right then. Sure. You have to yes and.
Yeah.
So it's like in the, I used to worry about months. I'd be like, I said that thing 7 months ago, and it's going to affect me in 5 months. Like,
yeah.
I used to be that person, used to be like, I'm, because my day, every day when I went to my job for 4 years was similar.
Mm-hmm.
And that makes your mind just go, if you're in a job you don't really like,
right.
I'm like, well, I'm going to think about, you know, this terrible thing and get anxious or like, I did
right.
X. In this business, like, I'm like, tomorrow could be different.
Sure.
I could yeah. be in LA tomorrow. Okay. Like, can't worry, like, won't worry about it until it's a thing.
Yeah.
We've gotten a much better.
We love that slogan because, you know, you'll get an audition and then you get a, whatever, you get a gig and another gig And it'll be like, what if we get both? Or what if, and it's like, don't worry about it until it's presented itself.
Right, that's a good problem.
So, first of all, what a problem.
We always are like, thank God.
Please let us have this issue.
Yeah.
We always say please, and most times we don't.
Yeah, we normally don't. But we are trying to do like, worry is the misuse of the imagination, and to not stress about things until it's presenting themselves as an issue.
We've gotten some, I'm going to give us props.
Yeah.
You should have seen us like a year ago. Yeah. We've gotten so much better.
But I think that's one thing I love about our duo-ship, which I think is something that I saw after a little bit, was after a shoot, we would get together and be like, what didn't you like? Like, what should we do differently? What did you think about this person? I agree. Did we like
this person?
Yeah.
We talk shit. No, okay, okay.
But just, I mean, we didn't just like figure it out through shoots. We would talk about how do we communicate with each other on set? What are you doing on set that, and then what can I be doing? Who's checking in with this person? Like, who's checking in with that person? So we don't just kind of like hope it's getting better. We're actively working on getting better and like every shoot improving in some way or another. I mean, we've had disasters on set.
Just like disasters.
Fires. We've had things that, and by the way, well, one, for the most part, though, pretty composed. We've stayed pretty composed. One time, not as composed.
I had a pan. I should have.
But then I think
the location could have been ruined.
Yes.
Yeah. I lost my mind.
I do think as a duo, though, when I see like my partner struggle, it's like something in my body that's like, well, then I don't have that option.
We just go, I'm
so
taking
I'll
it.
I'll be taking it. Yep. We do like a high five. Like, I got this.
This is on you.
Certain things like stress me out that don't stress her. And, you know, so we're just rotating those. I mean, she does literally all of our finances.
Mm-hmm.
I lose receipts within the hour. I don't know how. It doesn't make sense.
Like, she has to take a picture of them.
She's like, Jesse, just take a picture.
I do our taxes. Yeah. I do all the organizational. But like, she can edit in 1 minute. And like, I can do it, but it just takes me way longer.
Yeah.
Again,
but she's gotten great at it. Yeah.
Marriage. Yeah. Again, it just tracks to it.
I know.
The whole thing tracks to it.
Yeah.
Okay. And then, so then the last question I have,
mm-hmm.
and this is maybe about the future. And I say, don't have concrete goals worth setting. But I do think that in any marriage, there also is the question of how do you keep things from going stale?
Ooh.
How do you prevent stasis? Because if you're not moving forward together, you're moving forward separately.
Yeah.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, well, then it ends.
Right.
Wow.
In divorce, right?
Yes.
I think it's normally a like very legal, much a legal battle and sort of like, you know, fights over the kids and the dog.
You use your kids as some sort of...
I get this video, you get that video.
Exactly.
So in terms of that, what is you guys' approach towards the partnership now? How many years in now? 2017 now, y'all.
Almost five, like four and a half.
4.5 years, great.
With five in, by DCM. Yeah.
So how do you keep it fresh going forward? What's 2017 look like for you guys to sort of like keep each other engaged and creatively motivated?
I actually think I feel very excited. I think we had I would call it a little bit of a breaking point.
Yeah.
And really focused on how to be better and what we needed ourselves.
For each, I mean, obviously in this
individual.
Marriage too. It's like you can't put in to the relationship what you want if your body is like if you're having trouble on your own. And I think, honestly, we had a very frank conversation, which we're probably going to have to do every year, every month. But it's very much honesty. Honesty, right. I think, is what keeps the creative, like, in the sense of we both have to look at each other and say, do we want to be doing now these viral things or this for money? Or do we want to, like, what do you want to do? What do I want to do? And sometimes it is. I'll come to her and say, I really want to do this. And she'll go, I don't think I want to do that. And I'll go, okay, I might do it on my own then. And she'll go, and I can't wait to see it.
But we used to not be like that. I'm not going to lie. It used to be a struggle.
Yeah.
We used to be like, oh my God.
We have to agree on everything all the time.
And because like, again, like I said, we are different. Mm-hmm. She is very like, keep going. She's an energizer bunny. And I'm like, need to recharge in my home. Like, don't talk to me. So it's like, she'll come to me and be like, do you want to do this? And I will say like, that's what I'm saying. Everything is case by case.
Yeah.
That's how we've sort of done a lot of our projects. Like, yeah, we might go, okay, we want 15 videos.
Yeah.
But that's just a choice of 15 videos by March. It's not 15 videos. Like, we don't have to worry about next year.
Right.
I think it is honesty. Like, one of us might get cast and have to go to LA.
Yes.
Or have to, like, we know that. We have different lives. We, you know, my family is from here. Mm-hmm. I have to see them rather often. Mm-hmm. Like, we have different things going on.
Mm-hmm.
And I think we just stopped wanting to be like hindrances for each other. It was too stressful.
Yeah.
So now we're just completely supportive.
Right. And
we were completely supportive. We thought we were being completely supportive. Yeah. We didn't know.
Yeah, I think we were, but to the point that was detrimental because yes. we felt we had to agree on everything and sure. be making similar pledges on everything.
Yes.
Or I'm sure there was guilt, you know.
Both ways.
Both ways, which is like I have ADD. So I very much I can't stop thinking sometimes, and I want to be working on many different things at the same time. For some reason, that's how my brain works. But she doesn't have to do that, you know?
My brain is the complete opposite.
Mm. Yeah, so.
I mean, we push each other. I'm a hard worker, yes. and so is she. But, yes. like, it has to be manageable.
Sure.
Right.
Or I will lose my mind. Yeah. So I don't really know. I guess we, like, went sort of roundabout, but, like, I don't really know. I do think it's communication at every
yeah.
point.
Yeah.
We've gotten very good.
Yes.
The only times we've been having tiffs lately is if we're both massively stressed.
Yeah, I mean, it's pretty much when we got a call at midnight.
Mm-hmm. Yes. And it's like, you need to be here tomorrow and you need to wear this. And we're both
and
like,
we're both,
but
yeah.
then after 20 minutes, we're like, oh, that wasn't you. And that
yeah,
wasn't you.
Yeah, nobody cares. We just know it's.
So we're just like stress. Really, we tell each other, I know our voice now. So if mm-hmm. I have a pitch that I think is great for the both of mm-hmm. us, I'll bring it. But if there's something I want to do myself that I think would just be good for me, I'm going right. to figure out how to do that.
Sure. Right.
So I don't really know. I think it is just completely always open. We are okay. best friends.
Right. That's also a great bonus. Mm-hmm.
And
too.
We know each other very well.
Yeah.
So it's right. like she was going to cry like 14 times during this.
Yeah. It's like, anytime I talk about anything sentimental.
Yeah.
I'm very much, I think that I've had to learn this because I am a ride or die in the mm-hmm. sense of like, Tracy, my family lives in Virginia. My brother's in L.A. So Tracy is my family
yeah.
in New York.
She's gonna cry again.
I know, but I'm not. I think I have this. But I mean, she is. So mm-hmm. it's really unbelievable.
She's
when
come
to
you my get Passovers. To.
I have. You work yeah. on like your dreams with someone, so
sure.
you have the highest highs with this person,
yeah.
and also obviously the lowest lows. But
yeah, I think like right now it's just like what's gonna happen.
Yeah, sure. We are feeling like that.
We don't know.
We don't know.
Sure. Well, enjoy the moments in between.
Exactly.
Yes.
And 5 years is the Wood anniversary.
Oh.
So just keep
what
that
does that
mind.
Mean?
You're supposed to buy something with wood for each other.
Oh, my God. So. Well, it's DCM.
Yeah, there you go.
It'll be at DCM.
Oh, that's
weekend.
Right.
We DCM's to, your anniversary?
Yeah.
Yeah.
We were friends before sweet. That, but we
were both too
that
scared.
That was when we like went to a Taco Bell, got a tea, and was like, do you want to work together?
Because we were in
you drank tea at a Taco Bell.
That's
bit.
The type of gals we are.
We were in Ben Romeka's Improv 301, which
yeah.
was a great class.
Great
like
class.
Dave Murray was in that class.
Yeah.
Nate Bennett was such a good class, but we... But everyone was like afraid to like talk.
Yeah.
So we just started really hanging out around DCM.
We were put on the same shift.
For a volunteer shift. And that was the end of it.
I think I was
we were cleaning up
vomit. Tracy
vomit.
Was really making me like we yeah. were just having a blast laughing about yeah. it. Like, oh, what a privilege, what an honor.
I think it's also like we have roots that are similar.
Yeah.
You know, we're both
yeah.
Jewish, so it's the cultural thing is there. And
yeah.
it's just sort of this like it's easy, but you know. So is Abby and Alana, and we get...
Oh, that's true.
We are, yeah.
That is on our business card.
That we're the poor man's Broad City. that's every meeting we go to. It's like, how are you like and not
yeah.
like these other two Jewish women
yeah,
with brown hair? It's like
too close.
We are very different.
Yeah.
But they are wonderful.
Yeah.
Wonderful. Well, I wish you guys all the success in 2017. Hopefully one of those things is the project that we're doing together.
Yeah we're so excited
yes.
to show you the scripts.
Regardless, congrats on all the success so far, and Happy New Year.
And that will do it for episode number 35 of this podcast. Thanks so much to Tracy and Jesse for sitting down, chatting with me, being so honest. Boy, they love each other, don't they? And I hope that their love prospers for years to come. We'll all be celebrating their their golden anniversary soon. Sooner than we all like to think. Hey, thanks for listening. If you like this show, give us a subscribe and a review on iTunes.com/UCB Comedy. You can follow us on Twitter and Facebook at UCB Digital. And new episodes will be out very soon. If there's an episode that you want to hear, let us know. We'd be happy to take suggestions and take your comments and questions and read them on the air as well. Thanks to Margaret Burris for doing some research on this episode. As always, you can check out UCB Comedy on YouTube, Vimeo, and iTunes /UCB Comedy, and on all sorts of social media handles at UCB Comedy. And until next time, y'all, we'll see you on the internet.
This has been a UCB Comedy production. Check out our other shows on the UCB Comedy Podcast Network.